Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be found in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
I thought this morning, since we were thinking about fishermen or fishing birds, that we'd spend a little time talking about probably one of the most famous fishermen in the world. Peter. Peter had a good life. He had a home there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a sea well stocked with fish. He had his own boat, his own nets. Life was good. He had a wife, mother-in-law, family. Life was good. And one day, unbeknownst to him how radically his life was going to change, his brother Andrew came by and said, "Peter, you've got to come and see this." And Andrew took him to see Jesus. And Peter's life was never the same. Jesus now, over the course of a few months, turned him into a fisher of men. He couldn't go back. He tried. After resurrection, he went back. Jesus came and found them there on the Sea of Galilee fishing again. We don't know how long it was before he went on his missionary journeys, but they took him in places he never dreamed he would ever be. Took him to jail, took him all over the world in terms of what the world was then. Ended up in Rome. Ended up being one of the most famous authors in the world. Interesting how an uneducated in terms of literature, how a man like this becomes the author of Scripture. And he shared with us two letters, two wonderful letters, filled with his experience that he had had with Jesus. And so today, I want you to open with me to 1 Peter, there in the back of your New Testaments. And here we read what Peter has to say to us this morning, though he never dreamed he would be talking with people so many centuries later. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 1, very interesting. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. What a great name he had for himself. What a title. And now he's going to write to God's elect. And God's elect are what? Strangers in the world, according to the NIV. In chapter 2, verse 11, just take a peek, please. Chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world." Aliens. Once you become a child of Jesus Christ, you become an alien on planet Earth. An extraterrestrial already. Because the scripture that AJ read for us this morning, great and precious promises there that follow in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1, that we become partakers of the divine nature. Something wonderful happens to us when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. He actually moves inside. We are no longer merely human beings. We are partakers of the divine nature, and frankly, that makes us aliens. So, E.T., phone home. God's waiting for the call. It's a strange experience, and I know many of you here are from other lands. It is a strange experience to come and live in a place where you were not born and raised. It's interesting to be a stranger in a place. I think as a child, how important it is to feel like you belong. I think that's one of the great reasons for the necessity of Christian education. I think what we do back here on those classrooms is the most important thing that this church is doing and has ever done. When I was a lad, I did not go to public school. I went to public school, did not go to church school. And I can remember not being able to participate in the things that the school did in terms of extracurricular activities on Friday nights. I never could participate in sports. Frankly, I felt like an alien. I felt like a stranger there. And it's so important for children to belong. One of the great needs of a child, especially an adolescent child, is to belong. And therefore, if your child is not in church school, I beg of you to rethink that. Because if you want your child to feel like they really are part of a community, part of a family, then they need to be in church school. Amen. Now, Peter here, of course, is talking about us as adults as being strangers in the land. Well, if we're strangers here, then who are we? Well, in chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he tells us who we are. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a royal priesthood. In the whole Jewish system, you had to have a priest intercede between you and God. But Jesus came and made each one of us our own priest. Each one of us can now go boldly before the throne of grace. We don't have to have somebody else do it for us. You know, that was one of the things that really initiated the cause for Jesus' death. The priesthood suddenly found themselves being quite useless because Jesus said, if you need something, go into your closet and pray and say, Our Father. Talk directly to God Himself. You don't need somebody in between. And suddenly an entire economic class found themselves disenfranchised. Jesus made you your own priest, and not just a priesthood, but a royal priesthood, because we have been adopted then into the family. Look at verse 3 here at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish. Paul talks about the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul says that God has now given us every spiritual blessing that we need. And also, I really think I need to add, every spiritual blessing that we can handle. There is so much that God has for us that He can't give to us, just we're just not ready for it. I can remember when one of my sons, my first son, was in need of a car. And we went to a Ford dealer close to Pacific Union College. And we're walking around the car lot looking for something. And oh my, Steve, we walked right past a Mustang that just reeked with testosterone. I mean, this car was macho. When you turned the key on in this car, it just went rum, 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 rum. And both my son and I stood in front of that Mustang and we drooled. And I know what was going through his mind. Dad likes this car. And if Dad likes this car, maybe, you know, I'd even let him drive it once in a while, you know. We left with the Ford Probe. Instead of 300 horsepower, we left with 120 horsepower. Not because Dad didn't want him to have it. Dad knew he shouldn't have it. There's all kinds of things that God has for us, but he's holding them back because he knows we just aren't ready. Would I buy my son that 300 horsepower ton of muscle now? If he needed it now, I would. But he doesn't need it anymore. I do. Do you hear that, Lovey? I do. Father's Day is coming. This inheritance that's waiting for us that he talks about, this is fabulous. He says, this is an inheritance that can never perish. It can never spoil. It can never fade. And it's kept in heaven for us. It kept in heaven for us. Man, I'm angry. Do you ever get anxious? I stand before you this morning as one of the oldest persons in this building, and so I have to be able to say to you, other than a few of you who happen to be older than me, I'm closer than you are. It's not going to be long for me, and I don't mind at all. Don't you say, but aren't we all going to get it at the same time? Well, in terms of experience, yes. But in terms of what I'm thinking and what I'm experiencing, I just close my eyes and the next thing I wake up and I think I've shared with you this story before. It was last time I was getting a new knee. Seemed like I do that often. I was talking to the physician who was going to put in the new knee, and we're standing there and we're talking, and he's come, you know, to prepare me before and talk to me a little bit. And finally I said to him, I said, well, when are we going to do it? And he laughed at me and he said, it's already done. It just seemed like we had been talking about doing it, and the next thing when I asked him when, he said, it's already here. It's over. And that's the way this new inheritance that's waiting for us is going to be for us. I tell you, being a Christian is so exciting. Death is nothing for us to fear. Death is a welcome ticket to this rich inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. And who through faith are shielded. Oh, I love the verse 5. We are shielded by God's power until the coming of that salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, Peter had a concept of what we were being shielded from. Go to 2 Peter, his second letter. Turn there in his second letter to chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of God and its speed and coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. It certainly sounds to me like he's talking about a nuclear destruction of planet Earth. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that it happens in the twinkling of an eye. There's a loud blast, a trumpet, there's a twinkling of an eye, and it's over. The resurrection has happened. We are alive forevermore. We receive this glorious inheritance that will never fade. And it's just that fast. In the twinkling of an eye. And we will be protected. The Lord, Peter says, is our shield in all of these things for us. He says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These may come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor. What follows here for us is also listed in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Verse 13 says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. Now, Peter knew that this story that we're talking about here was so fantastic. It sounds like a fairy tale, really. How could we know that something like this was true? It sounds like somebody made up this story just to make us feel better about growing old. To make us feel better if we happen to be persecuted somewhere. But Peter says then for us in chapter 1 of his second letter, verse 16, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So Peter says, look, this isn't a clever story. And it would be. This story has everything that human beings need. It provides us with security. It provides us with love. It provides us with meaning for our lives. Every single human need is supplied in the story of Jesus Christ. If it wasn't true, it would have taken a genius to have created such a fable. But Peter assures us this is no fable at all. He said, I saw this. I heard this. This is so true. And therefore, because it is true, we come back to what AJ read for us this morning, back over again. He says that we, his 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world. Therefore, it is with great privilege that I stand this morning in front of a large group of aliens.
Oh, you extraterrestrials, you share and partaker of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Don't fear anything. Fear not the future. Fear not today, because you are a royal priesthood. You are shielded. You are not only going to reap a divine inheritance, in terms of what the Father considers, you are His inheritance. I like that very much. Do you love Jesus this morning? Love Him dearly. And I promise you that eternity is yours.
Lord Jesus, our life,
our feet, our lips, our will, our love, our hands, our voice, our silver, our heart. Lord, we give them all to you this morning. Thank you for making us aliens. We love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.